Open our Bibles, going into Romans. We'll be in the 10th chapter here tonight. And as we begin this 10th chapter, brothers and sisters, we're going to continue on with God's thoughts towards Israel. Now, in chapter 9, it was regards to Israel and what God had established, in a sense, in Israel in the past and what he meant for them. But in this 10th chapter, he's going to deal with Israel at the present time, even the time of now in this church age. And here, once again, as we begin, Brother Paul expresses his great love for his countrymen, such a desire to see them turn to the things of God, knowing, and the reason of his desire to them is because what God had given to them and wants for them, and the passion and compassion that he has for his countrymen, because Paul, obviously being born a Jew, he said back there in the 9th chapter that he would give his life and for them, and again, such love. But let's go ahead and start reading from the 10th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 5 to begin. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Isn't that something? Not that they might have food, not that they might have medicine, not that they might have anything and everything, clean water, whatever it might be. That they might be saved. Amen? All right, let's be about what the Lord would encourage us to be about. We don't need to do some type of a bait and switch. There's a lot of that going on. Well, we'll go this way and then we'll get to them that way. Let me tell you something. You give them the Word of God. And then anything that flows from the Word of God, wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," see, there it is. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, "and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Let's go ahead and stop there. Now, Paul can say this to these ones, brothers and sisters, because he was in their same shoes. That's exactly how he was. And matter of fact, he wasn't just like them. He excelled them. He excelled them all in the works of the flesh and trying to establish his own righteousness with them, but he was the master at doing it. Let's go on over to Philippians to be reminded of when Paul had to set it straight to these ones that were trying to go that way. And he said, "Now looky here, I've been down that road. I was the master of it. That's why I'm also known as the chief of sinners. Because I went about to establish my righteousness and I had more zeal in it than any of you." So in the Philippians chapter 3, beginning from verse 2, and this is what he is encouraging in them, because he was one of these dogs. And he says, "Beware of dogs, manipulators," those types of ones. "Beware of evil workers, beware of the concision," those legalists, those ones that would try to put you under, in a sense, that bondage, that abomination is really what it is, to think that there's any righteousness but in the blood of Jesus Christ on your life. Praise the Lord. Now, goes on to say, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." See, the only time you're ever going to rejoice is when you don't have any confidence in your flesh. You have confidence in your flesh, you're not going to rejoice. You might think you're something for a while, but you got a real sad hurt coming. Because God loves you. And he loves you enough to say, "Okay, I'm not going to force you, I'm going to let you go that way. But it's going to hurt. And thank God that he loves us like that. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Here he goes. If any man, other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And here's why. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was it. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But here's what came. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through what? The faith, hallelujah, of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the zeal that Paul is talking about of the Hebrew, or anybody else's zeal that pursues God's righteousness without the blood of Jesus, is a false zeal. It's a false desire. It's a false passion. Matter of fact, as I just mentioned, it's the most abominable thing to God, because it's the zeal of self-works. It's a zeal and desire to magnify your flesh, to magnify your efforts, as opposed to magnifying, praise God, the cross. Hallelujah. And what these ones were in, and what ones are that want to go and lean towards self-righteous activity, is you are self-serving. Did you hear that? You're self-serving. You're concerned about yourself, your feeling, what people think about you. I, by the grace of God, want to be concerned about what people think about Jesus. And these ones were stiff-necked. And they were completely rejecting the righteousness that was established by God in Christ. Hallelujah. So, we see that God is, once again, as we've seen time and time again already in Romans, the ignorance of religion, and I talk about that in religion, that promotes self-works so to obtain favor with God. Self-works to obtain favor with God is the most abominable thing to God. It is the filthy rags. It is the dung heap. Because again, all of that so simply refuses submitting to the simplicity that is in salvation. And salvation, the simplicity, is in no other place but the cross. Salvation is in none other name but Jesus. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Praise God. I heard a man last night, just had been, can't even imagine. Sometimes I'm almost just, what in the world did I turn my TV on for? But I was just crossing through one of them channels, and there's a guy that's so respected, and I guess he can say things that people like and all this, and he's got the most popular rated show, and he was just had to go and mouth off about his big religion and what one of the beliefs are of their religion, and he was giving his great theological explanation of, you know, people that live in this place or that place, you know, they don't know about Jesus, so it must just be about, for some, about good works, you know, God will take care of that. And I was thinking, man, that's what the Ivy League schools did to you? Run. It's just disgusting. And I mean it very sincerely. I'm not saying that to be sensational. Don't comment on the word if you don't know the word of God. Don't. You want to talk about things you think you know in life, that's whatever. Don't comment on the things of God when you don't know a thing. Preach the word. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 4, begins, praise God, the way of salvation. And how precious it is. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Let's go over back over to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. So you see again, let me read that again. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now again, think about Christianity. Most of Christianity, what they want to go back to is they're always clinging to the Ten Commandments and posting them everywhere and those types of things. There is nothing wrong with the law. The law is a wonderful thing. Awesome. Given of God. Perfect. In what God gave it for. And it wasn't to save you. It was to magnify your sin. Isn't that wonderful? How perfect, how beautiful. He gave the law to magnify your sin. Not to give you something to live by because you can't. Not to have any confidence in it. He brought it about to magnify your sin and to show your absolute need of his son, the Lamb, the Savior, your Savior. Praise be to God. Now, go back with me over here to Romans 3:20. So see, it says here that therefore, since we know this, therefore by the deeds of the law, listen to this, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So see what that man said last night, it does not jive with the word of God. Matter of fact, it is not the word of God. Matter of fact, again, it's the abomination. It's the abomination because it's taking away from what the whole purpose of Jesus Christ and him crucified and becoming sin for you who knew no sin. Amen. If there was any other way, if there was anything that could merit favor to God that we could have done, he would not have given his son. And he certainly wouldn't have given his son to be abused, ridiculed, beaten, his visage marred more than any man's, and he became sin. Everything was upon him. That would have never happened if there was anything that we could do of ourselves to find favor with God. Is that not simple? It's so simple. And he says it here, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. Praise God! That's what the law was given for. Not to show me or anybody else how good you think you are. Look at me, look at the law, look at me, look at the law. You know, I look at you and I look at the law and I, you know what? I got the knowledge of sin. Amen. Because all men have come short. Oh, yes. Huh. There's none righteous, no, not one. But listen, whenever you hear a but now, you better get your ears perked up. Verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, and what? Without the law. Because there could be no righteousness with the law. Couldn't happen. Couldn't be. Had to be the blood. Even the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which again is what? Which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that joined this church or joined that church or got baptized in that tank or went over here and did that. One thing, that believe. Isn't it amazing? Do you think people in these large religions ever hear that verse? I'm sure that page was torn out. Isn't that wonderful? Upon all and unto all them that believe, for there is no difference. Praise God. It's there for all. Hallelujah. He died for the sin of all men. Now, it couldn't be any clearer about the works of the law and what refuge to God it is. It's dung, as the Lord said from the very beginning as he set it up, bring me the lamb, and bring me the lamb only. It's all I want to see is bring me the lamb. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that the law, as the word of God tells us, was our schoolmaster. And the schoolmaster did not bring salvation, but the schoolmaster, that law, by its rites and ceremonies, and especially by its sacrifices, it pointed us to Christ. It pointed us to Christ. And how did it point us to Christ? It pointed us to Christ because through those sacrifices and through those rites and ceremonies, it brought the remembrance of sin year after year after year after year. And I remember telling somebody that, well, how did that point me to Christ? It brought your sin back in your face all the time. It showed you how guilty you are, and you can't get that guilt off. You need the Savior. You need the Lamb. Hallelujah. And so that, praise God, shows us again, the law magnified our guilt. It magnified our sin even more, thus magnifying our need for Jesus, the Savior of all, Christ once, praise God, for all, through the offering of himself, made the one sacrifice for sin and finished it all and brought to us peace with God. Hallelujah. What a story. And that's just the beginning. Isn't it wonderful? That never ends. But praise God, that's how it all started. And we have a little bit of time. So let's go over to Hebrews and let's read through that marvelous 10th chapter. Just again, to saturate us in this precious grace that gives us the faith to believe and to understand and be enlightened about the grace of God and how that is the realm, hallelujah, that we live in. That's our life. We live by faith. And thank God that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we begin, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So see, again, they had to keep doing it and keep doing it, and it would bring into remembrance that sin again. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. Aren't you thankful we live right now? You know, again, like people say, oh, I wish I lived in Moses' time. I wish I lived in this. No, I want to live in this time. I love that there's no remembrance of sin. Hallelujah. I love that. I love understanding what justified is. I praise God that that veil is rent in twain. I thank God that, hallelujah, I don't just get in there to the throne of grace. Hallelujah, I want to just camp. Don't want to be anywhere else, just right in that precious throne of grace. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. See, it couldn't do that. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he saith, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first. So see, he took away all of that he may establish the second. Grace. Hallelujah. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. See, we don't have to go back again and again like some of these religions do, and they do their different ceremonies, and oh, you're, you know, this is his body, and this is his, let me tell you something, he did it once for all. It is done. It is finished. We do this in remembrance of that. Praise be to God. Now, goes on to say, and every priest stands daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Now that was back then, but think of the same priest today. All of these ceremonies and all these things that they do. What does it say? Can never take away sin. Quite a gimmick for the belly of man. But again, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is spiritual wickedness we're talking about. So, but this man, oh, I love that. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. See, we're almost to that point. Here we go. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you getting the gist of this, how he keeps saying one, 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 finished, done, complete, one? Isn't that wonderful? This is something to get excited about. For by one offering he hath perfected, he completed it forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. Why? Because you're going to put Lord Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. And there you go. You got it now. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And here's 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. In Jesus' name you come in. You don't come in anything else, in your goodness or whatever. You don't have any. You don't get right and then come to God. You just come in Jesus' name. Get in there. Hallelujah. And that's it. So rejoice in that. It is incredible. Now let's go back to the 10th chapter of Romans. And let's read verses 6 and 7. And it says there, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? This is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You know, how important do you think you are? What do you think you can accomplish? Huh? There's a lot of nuttiness out there. It's a lot of wickedness out there, isn't there? So see, we don't have to go back some 2,000 years ago and bring down Christ from heaven and do this again. We don't have to descend into the depths of what he's saying here, Sheol, where Christ went down there to lead captivity captive, to bring Christ up from the dead. See, he did it all. He finished it. And praise be to God, he is seated at the right hand of God, and he is waiting at this moment for the Father to say, honey, go get your bride. That's it. Praise God. And we're just waiting. We know the end of that story. He's coming. Hallelujah. Yes, and it's about to happen. So it is simple. It is wondrous. It is complete. And that's the confidence by faith that we have in the love of God. And we rest in it, brothers and sisters. We believe it. We count it done. What Christ has done for us. And it's ours. It's mine. Not some global thing. It's mine. Hallelujah. He's my Savior. And that's what's so precious, how he deals with us individually. Now let's go ahead and read verse 8 and how rich the grace of God is to man. And it says there, but what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, he's there for all. He died for the sin of all men. He would that all men be saved, the word of God says. He said, I would not have one perish, no, not one. And all that is required for complete everlasting salvation, let's go ahead and read verse 9 through 11. And here we go. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice in that, brothers and sisters, that you have that. And praise be to God that you know that. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of God's precious people that do not rest in that. They think somehow, some way, we know it's just the enemy, somehow salvation is some contingent thing, that there is some great ceremony that has to go through for salvation. Let me say, you call on the name of the Lord, get saved. We don't have time for ceremony. Matter of fact, God doesn't want ceremony. Jesus, come into my heart. I take you as my Savior. Praise God. He goes on to say here in a moment, let's just get down to it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's a lot of religious people that sure don't like that. Well, I can't really be that exclusive if I preach that. Let me tell you something. God is so inclusive. Lord, help us to understand that. Talking to a brother just not too long ago, you know, pray God take you out of your comfort zone. That's back to self again. We try to just, here's how I'm going to live my life. This is who I am. This is, you know, my personality, and here's my walls. Live abundantly, and that's Christ living in you. And oftentimes, it's the way you never thought. Oftentimes, and I'll tell you one thing, you really love the Lord, your life will be a Galilee. It'll flow out. It'll teem with fruit. I'm not saying you're going to have some great following and people are just going to throw roses at you. Matter of fact, they might throw stones at you. And that's good, because then you know that at least maybe by the grace of God, you're making a stand. But there'll be real fruit. Praise God, there'll be real fruit. But aren't you thankful there's nothing that man can do to receive righteousness but merely believe? How wonderful. See, that's, again, how perfect salvation is. You're going to magnify my Son, and that's it. You're not going to be able to do anything to get saved in any type of ceremony, form, circumstance, pomp, whatever it might be. You're just going to believe in Him. You see how man could never have figured this out? Man likes rituals and rites and clubs and this and that and diplomas and degrees and certificates and boom, 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 boom. And God just says, believe. Huh? Amen. Be thankful. Praise God. Verse 12 and 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That's now. Do we get that? Praise God. There's no difference. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, there's no difference in receiving salvation. It is all by the blood. It is all the same way. Think about, again, how the enemy gets into Christianity and separates out these groups. Well, you know, I've met so sweetly so many, I'm a Jewish Christian. You're a Christian. There is neither Jew nor Greek. What do you want to get from this? Well, you know, I'm a Jewish Christian, but I'm going to go celebrate and still do these rituals and rites and blow my trumpet and all that. And it's laughable, criable. It's really criable is what it is. You put away those things. Those are done. Remember what we just read? He took away the first. It's gone. He established the new. We are not an observer of days. You know the Word of God tells us that? Amen. That ceremony stuff. No, 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 no. We live by faith and it's all magnifying his son. My goodness, we're in the time of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We should be encouraged to be filled and full of the praise and joy of the Holy Ghost. Go on with this. But see, brothers and sisters, it's the blood. He finished the work on the cross. It's for all. It's to all. He's not a respecter of person. There is none too wicked. Isn't that wonderful to know? Oh, we've been hearing a lot of self-righteousness lately. Oh, that one did this and that one did that. They're just going to hell because they did it. Well, I don't know if they're a Christian or not. If they're not a Christian, yeah, they are. Didn't matter how many good works or how many bad works you think they did. Without the blood of Jesus on your life, yep, you're hell-bound. That's it. Yep, there's but one way. I do believe the word of God. I'm not ashamed of it. It's all-inclusive. He would that all men be saved. It's there for you. But I guess you have a bone to pick with God. How stupid are you? Really, think about that. You claim to believe in the Bible, the word of God. There is but one way. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I want to be bold in love to preach that, but we don't got much time. This isn't a soft sell. We praise God, we stand. And you move by those cities that don't want it. Don't have time. It's the truth. As Jesus said, as they were so concerned about this and that, and even the poor, he said, you know what? The poor you always have with you. But me, just a little while. Oh, that's insensitive. No, that's the truth. All right? Now, come on. Who are we? More importantly, who is he? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Now, and then as we just read, don't you love that rich part where he says, for the same Lord over all is rich? That's your Father. Now, you know, let's say in the natural you have a rich dad. And he just absolutely adores you. And he wants to give you everything. And he could give you everything and anything beyond what you could imagine. But you're a hard head. And even though you could get it all from him, you're just going to go get it another way. This is the only wealth. So there's no other way or place to get it, what he's talking about. And what he's talking about here is grace. Because in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, he's already pouring it out on us right now. But see, we hadn't seen anything yet in a sense until we get a body like unto his own glorious body. And then, praise God, everything could hold and consist, and I just wouldn't come apart when he starts bringing out that kind of grace and glory. I hope I'm not stepping out there too far. He's just gone. Amen. Praise God. As my son said a long time ago, oh, Papa's way. Papa's way. He didn't realize what Papa he was talking about. All right. So, brothers and sisters, it's wonderful because this grace right now that we have is the always, all sufficiency in all things to superabound to every good work. See, that's what this is. And the only question to us is are we going to take it? Amen. Because it's there, but are we going to make it void in our lives? Like Paul said, oh, I thank God I haven't made this grace void in my life. No, because he took the grace to take the grace. And that's the grace for grace for grace for grace that you'll take all the time in your life. Don't, let me tell you something. You don't have the strength to take grace. Wow, what did he just say? Yeah, just chew on it and be thankful and take grace. Hallelujah. All right, 14 and 15. Let's move along. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is such a wonderful, sweet scripture. You see, the gospel, it must be preached and it must be heard. It's important to hear the gospel of Christ. We must be taught the word of God. And I thank the Lord. We know it's not of the vessel. We know it's of the Spirit of the Lord. But what does the Spirit of the Lord always minister and only minister is the word of God. And praise God, as the Lord said, well, I'm going to do it with the foolishness of preaching. Isn't that wonderful? And it's amazing with all of these things that we have and now all this technical world and all of these things. You know what? The Word of God never changes. You need to hear the Word of God. You need the preaching. You need the teaching. And then you think about why God does that. Because he also says, don't forsake the assembling, the gathering of yourselves together. The much the more, as you see that day approaching. See, it's so wonderful. See, he got a wonderful work in this, in a plan. And those that are the true lovers that love to come together in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, not just to gather for donuts and gossip and this and that and whatever cause and whatever, but to talk about our love, yeah, that's great gain. That's what he is encouraging through his precious truth, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful. But, and I love how Paul always says this. See, preachers must be sent of the Lord. Amen. Preachers must be sent of the Lord. Teachers. There's an anointing. Praise God for that. And I thank the Lord. We should all be ministering saints. But we're talking about how God has placed us in the body. And I appreciate how Brother Paul always addresses himself. A servant. An apostle of Christ, but called an apostle by Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Not called an apostle or called a preacher by a man or a seminary or a ordination club or whatever it might be, but by Christ Jesus himself. I know by God's grace, I was ordained to be a minister when I was in Mexico in that house as I stood there, and the Holy Spirit, boom, it was done. Then it was done. Now, praise be to God. There was an encouragement that we had here back at this meeting on that Sunday that God brought me back. But I knew that he had done the work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's God. So, and if it's the case that the preacher is called to preach the word of God by the Lord, praise God, and if they'll stand in it, because that's what happens a lot of times. And that's why we need to pray for your pastor and your teachers, and you pray fervently one for another. But few people stand in it. That's why Paul was so thankful to God. I withheld not a thing from you. Preach the whole counsel of God. Go preach the word of God. Stand in it. Having done all to stand, stand again. Don't move from it. But if that'll happen, my goodness, I'll tell you what. You stand, you'll grow in that grace and in that knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you'll grow in preaching the whole counsel of God, and nothing will be withheld. There's another thing I want to bring out about this beautiful feet reference that we just had here. This is some very sweet scripture, and there's some very telling things in that about the beautiful feet. Obviously, in Ephesians 6:15, it talks about with the warfare of the believer, we need to have our feet shod with the gospel. We understand that. But there's a meaning here, because remember, who's being spoken to? Israel, in a sense. And there's a message being given to Israel here. And if you turn back to Isaiah 52, bear with me. I know we've been here just a little bit, but this needs to tie up. And time's just flying by. How's that? All right. But in Isaiah 52, verse 7, and if you'll notice, if you have a little Schofield or one of these Bibles that might give you little headings, in the 52nd chapter, this is the vision of Jerusalem or Israel in the kingdom age. So this is, again, prophetic and speaking of Israel in the kingdom age. Now listen to what it says of them. Going back to the sixth verse, it says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in the day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This is the calling, praise God, that is coming. And this is that rejoicing when that remnant is returned. Praise God to him, that Israel. And it's precious because Sister Bodie makes note of what this special meaning of these beautiful feet. See, in the millennium, brothers and sisters, Israel will have a calling and they will be the new evangelists to this world. Did you know that? Now you see in Matthew and there where it says, go preach the word of God to all the nations. And that's what people think that that's their calling right now for the majority of Christians is that, oh, we got to go preach it to all the nations. But you understand, brothers and sisters, that that is not called until Christ Jesus has taken the throne as God. Now, what have we been reading about Christ and all of, in his place right now? Where is he at? He's at the right hand of God. This has not transpired yet. We are still in the church age. It's wonderful. We want people to get saved. You have to get saved to grow on to being the bride of Christ. It can't happen any other way. But this is the time to grow up into him in all things. This is the time that Christ, hallelujah, he's going to have a bride. This is the time that the Father has sent out the Holy Ghost, just like was sent out to find the bride for Isaac. And there was Rebekah. Praise the Lord. It was so honed in, wasn't it? And where did Abraham send that servant for Isaac? He sent the servant to his people. See that? He didn't just send it out to the world. He sent the Holy Ghost to his people to take out from them the bride. See again how perfect the word of God is in type and shadow. And I'll tell you, we be still and know that he is God. It's just going to keep getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And it just is immense. And then someday, you're just going to see him. And that's how it's going to be. And how wonderful this is. But see, Israel, brothers and sisters, they're going to be those ones that'll go out and evangelize to preaching the word to every nation. Israel as a nation, when they return to God, will go out and convert the world. Won't that be something to see? Thank the Lord. And I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, you won't be part of that. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be like him. I'll be omnipresent. Yeah, chew on that one. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to be enjoying all these things. Praise God. Thanking him for this. But they will be the ones that will preach to every nation and creature. And it's exciting, brothers and sisters. But let's get back to 16, and we'll close this up here quickly. And that's Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Okay, so here we go back to reality. We had this wonderful rush of, oh, it's so beautiful. Okay, now we're going to go back to reality. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So, again, it is a matter of fact that the majority have rejected him. So it goes on to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. See how sweet faith comes by? Faith doesn't come by singing until you're hypnotized, mesmerized. It just doesn't work that way. Faith doesn't come by joining. Getting wet in somebody's certain tank doesn't happen that way. Faith comes by hearing. And not hearing good books or speeches or hearing lots of garbledygook. Faith comes by one thing, hearing the word of God. Awesome. Again, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Wonderful. See, and who is the word? Jesus. And see, man doesn't want Jesus. See, man wants grace, man wants peace, man wants rest. But without Jesus, you can't have any of that because he is that. And just as we rejoiced on Sunday, it's not by sight, it's not by feeling, it's not by might, it's not by works, it's not by strife, it is by faith. And faith is increased one way in our lives, and that's by hearing the Word of God. And without hearing the Word of God, your faith will never grow. I don't care how many hands you hold, how many songs you sing, how many churches you join, how good you feel for a while. Without hearing the Word of God, your faith will not grow. And if you're in a place where you're being starved the Word of God, get out. Get out. And we'll close it out with 18 to 21. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Oh, I'm raising my hand. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, I get incredibly sad for the Jew, and we know that. But it was their disobedience, praise God, that was our grand opportunity, brothers and sisters. Amen. And we're going to read, if the Lord tarry, coming up here, about the wild olive branch. That's us. Hallelujah. And how we got the opportunity to be grafted into that true vine. Hallelujah. And we know this. And praise God, this was always the plan of God. And the plan of God, get this as we leave. I'm going to just close it up right here, but this is very important. The reason is because Christ's bride, this is about the bride. Christ's bride would always be taken out of the Gentile. Always going to be. That was the plan. Always going to be out of the Gentile. As seen in Joseph and his wife. As it was seen with Ruth, the wife for Boaz. Time and time again, the Word of God showed us this. And here we are, praise God, feasting. Can you imagine in this day? Right now, he could come tonight, feasting on his proposal, just waiting for him to come for his wife. Hallelujah. That's it. Praise the Lord. Even so, Lord, come. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.